right. Well, would you describe the dress?
Yes, they were made out of a white material, real soft material. And, they had shirring on them, and they had lace on them. And usually at the bottom, the hem had a great big wide lace on it with ruffles. And, they were just magnificent. I know that I saw the one baptism, and the baby had a dress. I guess it was a 5-inch crocheted ruffle on the bottom. And I went home and asked my sister if she could make me a little dress like that.
Oh.
But the dress that I had went to my niece. And then from there, well, I imagine it was worn out. Because, see, it was 9 of them. See, the boys had those long dresses on, too, when they were baptized.
Wait, when you say long, how long do you mean about?
Oh, see, the godmother held the baby like this, and the dress went clear down to some of them went down to the floor. It was more like a blanket than a dress, really.
Do you know if the baptismal dress you had in your family had been used the generation before you?
That,
or was it just for your family?
It was just for our family.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. What about godparents? Was there any traditional way?
There were mostly relatives, close relatives. Now, of course, the relatives played out before I came along. But my mother's cousin, Kate Schmidt, was my godmother. And my uncle, Arthur Holtzhouse, see, he was Mama's stepbrother. He was my godfather. He was 16 years old.
Oh.
And they walked from that house over there where Clifton lives.
Clifton Nelson?
Yes. From there, they walked to church, and he had the umbrella, and Kate had the baby, and he was coming up and down. He was picking her hair.
After the ceremony, one other question. Was there any prejudice as far as the religion of the godparents? Was there any anything there special you can tell me? Did they have to be a Catholic?
I think, yes, they had to be Catholic. They had to be a practicing Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about birthday parties? Did y'all have birthday parties in your family?
Oh, yes, we had birthday parties and... Of course, in those days, we didn't have big cakes and things like those, but we had lemonade to drink and maybe some crackers with butter on it, or, you know, maybe a little, like, icing for a cake. They'd put that on crackers, and that consisted of our birthday parties.
Was that just a family party?
No, the kids from around the neighborhood would come.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I imagine you had... you had a lot of relatives. Did you and your relatives have a good relationship? A lot of visiting back and forth, that type of thing?
No, we didn't. We were always friendly, but we didn't visit. We didn't go visiting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you told me that you married, and you told me the names of your children. Now, where did you and your husband live?
We lived in the Coran house. That's where we lived when we were married. He lived there with his wife before. See, Grandma Noonan bought that place from Mr. Coran. Mm-hmm. And she bought it for George and Helen. And, of course, they were living there, and I moved in.
Mm-hmm. So that, I just love that house. I can't wait for them to finish restoring it.
Oh, but you know when the Noonan sold that thing? I could just die. Rod wanted to buy it back when Mr. Baumel wanted to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Mama, let's go up and look at it. We drove up behind that house, and you know, Mr. August Schott said, they're putting in a glassed-in sleeping porch. That back porch is going to be just beautiful. Do you know what they had? These overhead garage doors.
Oh.
With those little bitty windows way up high.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled the bathroom away. The bathroom was over there in connection with the two bedrooms, but it did come to the porch.
Mm-hmm.
And he put two bathrooms in that beautiful dining room. That dining room was as long as from here to the front door.
Let's say about 25, 30 feet long?
Yes, ma'am. And I guess it was 15 feet wide, every bit of it. because I had the two china closets and that big, great big, the sideboard was much bigger than this one. I had that was in there, and I had a great big long table. I guess it would seat 15 or 20 people at one sitting. And when I saw that, I'm telling you, I got sick at the stomach. Then there was a butler's pantry right off of the kitchen, and you went around a kind of a little stair thing there, and the stairway that went into the cellar was a spiral.
Oh.
And they knocked all of that out.
Oh, no.
They knocked that butler's pantry out. And when it rained, I don't know where the water went, because there wasn't any lid on the entrance to the basement.
Well, I think that the Belchers are going to do as good a job as can be done of bringing it back.
I think so. Mrs. Belcher asked us. See, the girls knew them. They went up there one day to look to see what was going on, and so they were in two pickups. And mm-hmm. So they said, "Oh, you're the people we're glad to see." I said, "Why?" "Well, we have to take this stuff away from here. It's getting so piled up we can't get in and out." So the girls backed up. Of course, it's only they can tear things up. You know, they loaded up those two trucks and took the stuff to the dump ground and came back and loaded up some more. And then I was with the girls at the restaurant, and they came over and talked to us. So the kids introduced me, and she says, "Well, there's one thing, your girls don't have to be told what to do, they know where to catch on."
Well, okay. I know it's going to make you feel good to see it, because
oh,
it's
yes.
a beautiful house.
Yes, I hope they get through with it before my time is up.
Oh, they will. Well, your father was a... evidently, then, a politician. Did he get into any really
big things? No.
No.
The only thing, he was ever sheriff. He was sheriff. Mr. Nye, Joe Nye, was in the office 2 years younger than my dad, but he was out a year, and then he went back in. But my dad was in the whole year from 10 to 32.
So there was no what you would describe as a hot political race
to win.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But he had a lot of political friends. Now I'll have to tell you this and cut this off. This don't concern that.
What about dances? Did you attend dances when you were a young girl?
Oh, yes, I've danced. I've waltzed a billion miles. And if my legs would stand up to it, I'd still waltz.
Well, where did you do all this waltzing?
Well, we didn't have dances then like every Saturday like they have now on Friday and Saturday nights. We had the Christmas dance, we had a New Year's dance, Easter dance, and Pentecost, and 4th of July, and the 25th of August. And then, of course, right shortly after that, it was Lent, and Advent, and we didn't go.
So you had about five or six special times.
Special, yes, and then we'd go to Dehenny's to the 4th of August, you know, St. Dominic's Day.
Okay. Where were these dances held that you attended usually?
Upstairs, the best dance floor that I have ever danced to was the upstairs, what is now known as, they don't have it that way anymore.
Was it the
upstairs above the Philip Burnett Saloon?
Which, as we would say presently, what was the L.M. Tondry store,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How long did those dances last?
Oh, they lasted from about 7 o'clock until midnight, maybe till 1 o'clock.
You didn't ever dance till morning?
No.
No?
It was over with. Maybe some of the other people did, but we had to go home.
Go home around 1, okay. But that was something you looked forward to, right?
Oh, yes. My goodness, Sunday dresses didn't bother us a bit, but we sure wanted a dress to go to the dance. And the funny thing was, you know, it was it wasn't voile, but it was on that order. It was a soft material, and you could get that material in any color you wanted to. I'll never forget one time I had a lavender one. Oh, I was so pretty in it. But my daddy saw me, and it was kind of drop shoulders, and he said, hey, you go in and put on a coat. You're not going up there. So when I went in, well, the girls pulled it up, you know, and pulled this little string tight, and it was all right.
It was fine.
But it wasn't cut low, you know, but it drooped away on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was funny.
So in other words, you had special dresses just for the dancing.
For the dance, Of course, we wore them over and over and mm-hmm. over. We didn't discard them after the first dance. We mm-hmm. wore them over and over.
What about quilting parties? Was that popular?
It was among the older people.
That was older.
The older people, but the young ones didn't. We did handwork like hardanger and embroidery. I learned how to embroider when I was a little bitty kid over here at the nuns. See, on Friday afternoon, the boys had like field day or something, and the girls had embroidery or artwork of some kind.
They were learning the finer things. Okay. Horse races and rodeos, what about those?
Well, they had lots of horse races. When they'd have, you know, kind of congregated someplace, maybe like down at Zimmerman's Grove or up on the river, but I don't know whose place that was.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd have these little quarter horses, you know, and they'd just bet a dollar or two and they'd get on there and run them.
It was sort of like a community
yes,
thing. One
uh-huh.
fellow had a horse
yes,
and someone else.
Had some,
and
uh-huh.
I see.
And my horse is better than yours.
Right. I understand that baseball was very popular.
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Now, my uncles played baseball, and their ball diamond was in front of the church.
Oh, no. Houston,
yes.
Houston Square
Houston
or Houston
Square
Place?
Was, uh-huh, that was the baseball diamond. And at Addie's little, the cottage hotel that she had later on, well, she didn't keep boarders or roomers. She just served meals. And the balls would come on her porch, and so she says, "You guys are going to either move or put your batter's cage up there by the church or someplace, but not here anymore." So then they put this great big background there. Oh, it was something. We'd sit on the porch over there and watch them play ball.
Was there a lot of rivalry between the baseball teams?
No. Well, sometimes, you know, they'd get... they'd get on the umpire and he'd get out there. You know? He'd make him hush or either he'd throw him out.
Throw him out of the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, was this the...
That was on a Sunday afternoon.
That was your recreation.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But really, our recreation during the summer was swimming.
Did you swim in the Medina River?
Oh, yes, yes. The Medina River was running wide then. You know, it was like, say, from the, oh, you know where that rock wall is over there right under Miss Lawler, by Miss Lawler's house?
Yes.
Well, it was from there till on the other side where that gravel pit is.
Oh.
Oh, yes. And the water was clear, crystal clear. And where it ran over those rocks, it'd make it foam. Very pretty.
Do you think that the advent of the Medina, the event of putting up the Medina Dam probably is what the reason that it's not clearer anymore?
No. People had outdoor privies.
Oh. Pollution.
It's pollution.
That's too bad. Because I've heard it described before as having been such a beautiful stream.
Oh, it was. It was beautiful. And then... I guess it was a block from the crossing there where Ms. Lawler lives,
mm-hmm.
down over that way. They call it the Marks Hole, Water Hole.
Mm-hmm.
And all the big cypress trees would get up in there and dive out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the water was deep there. And then after so many people came down there, you know, they'd have picnics along there. And, of course, they were friendly. So we moved down below Schmidt, and those Schmidt boys had these big chains up in those trees. Well, I never could reach them, but the girl, they had a hook, you know, and the chain would be way out halfway across the river, and they'd hook it with that hook and bring it back, and then they'd stand on a stump and hold us little ones up there. One of them was Lenora Tunder and me. We were the little ones. And they'd hold us up. We'd get a hold of them, and they'd say, drop, we dropped.
you brought in an Alsatian word, fremdi. Would you translate mm-hmm. the meaning of that literally?
Strangers.
Mm-hmm. So you moved from your favorite swimming hole to another one because strangers came.
Yes, too many strangers came there.
Mm-hmm. So were the Castroville people as a whole sort of suspicious of strangers?
They were very suspicious of strangers.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea why?
I have no idea, but I think that when they first came here, you see, when the settlers first came here, when my great-grandparents and grandparents came here, the Indians were friendly with them. And in time of shortages, they would bring him a half a deer or some turkey or ducks or something like that. But then after a while, you know, they got to pushing them a little bit, and they became hostile. And I don't blame them, because mm-hmm. there was enough room around here for both of them.
That's true.
And I think that that's the reason the natives were scared of strangers. Well, in coming to a place where there wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. See, they had to, some of them had caves dug, like they call it Millibalkala, up here going to the cemetery. There's a kind of little sand hill there, and they dug caves in there, and some of them lived in those. And then some of them just had brush, like.
Are you speaking of the Indians living
no,
there?
No,
the Alsatian
the first Alsatians that came. See, they had nothing to build with.
Right, that's true.
And then finally they got a sawmill. I don't know who had the sawmill. Now the Balaka had the sawmill up at Bandera.
We're going to get to him in a little bit. So they were very suspicious then of
mm-hmm. Of anybody that was strange. And in those days, I don't know why, but lots of times, see, this was on a main road to Mexico, and lots of times convoys of gypsies would come through here. And Lord help us, we couldn't go out the gate at all. No, they're going to take you, they're going to steal you. They had a reputation of stealing children. Why? I don't know. Lord knows they had enough of their own. Mm-hmm. But that was a thing. I know that I went to the meat market one evening with my gallon bucket to get the meat, and all of a sudden my brother came running, and he says, "We have to hurry, we have to hurry." And Mr. Franger says, "Well, why? What's the matter now?" He says, "Oh, they're gypsies. They're right on the other side of the river." And he had to escort me home. And Lord, he wasn't as big as I was, I don't think. Not very much bigger.
What about St. Louis Day? That has always been a big day here.
St. Louis Day was here when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we celebrated the picnic at different places. St. Louis Hall was a rock building where the optometrist has his office now.
Bill Burgess.
Yeah.
All right.
And they had a long bowling alley adjacent to the street there that passed in front of the Coran store. And the men folks would play...
Would bowl?
Bowl, uh-huh. And the ladies would be on the inside there. And, of course, they had tables out under the trees and served meals. But it was more like a family, like just a congregation. It wasn't strangers. Mm-hmm. And then Mrs. Warnett opened her garden. Now, her garden was a place of beauty. That was a grandmother to Wilfred Warnett. She had flower beds all around those trees, and she had a well, and had the little house over it, you know, and had running roses there and everything. It was just out of this world. And then they began to have picnics there, and more people would come, you know. See, Castroville is the hub of Medina County.
Mm-hmm.
And people from Hondo, people from Divine, people from Dehennes, they would all congregate there, and that's where St. Louis Day started to spread. But it was a privately owned place.
So that's the reason for calling it a Warnett's garden, is because...
Yes, ma'am. It was a beautiful garden. And she would come down there, and if the kids would start running, she says, She talked kind of a broken Alsatian. And she'd always point to the boys to go down towards the river to play, because they played rough. And She didn't want them tumbling in her flower beds.
Well, what kind of food then did you take to these early celebrations that you remember before so many people congregated?
Well, traditional dishes like we'd have at home.
But your family took your own food.
Yes, and then they had soda water there or lemonade, and I'll never forget the first time I saw pink lemonade. I thought that was the best stuff in the world.
When do you think they started selling meals? Do you have any recollection of that?
No, I can't remember that. I just can't remember when it was.
Well, now, was this always on a Sunday?
No, right. At first it was on St. Louis Day. See, come hail or shine, it was on St. Louis Day. It came to be the closest to St. Louis Day on a Sunday, the Sunday closest to the St. Louis Day. Later on, when they had, you know, when it began to be statewide.
Mm-hmm. Then they, right, okay. Did you have any out-of-town visitors that came especially for that day?
Well, there were uncles and aunts and things that came that lived at Hondo and Divine and around in that way. They came, but not from far off.
Not from far off. What about,
and the Bradens were related. I don't know how they were related, but they came from San Antonio and they used to stay at our house. But in those days there weren't that many people, and people could take them in. And the farmers had what they called Sunday houses here. You know, they'd come in early in the morning or maybe Saturday night, and then after Vespers, why, you'd see them take off to go to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
They were little, they had, it was like a big room and then a little kitchen in the back.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Sunday house. And they would open those for people who came, you know.
Okay. What about the religious celebration on that day? Was that special?
Oh, yes, it was. It was a high mass, and in the afternoon was Vespers and veneration of the holy relics of St. Louis. And just a few years ago, somebody said, "Oh, we found the prettiest little monstrance over there. It's a little bitty thing." And oh, it was so full of dust and dirt, and inside it had dust in it. They threw it away.
Oh, no.
But they kept the monstrance. I don't know what they did with it. I don't know where it is. When I heard about it, I didn't say anything to them. It just shocked me, so I couldn't say that that was what that was. And not long ago, Marie Christie was, and I was, see, she's my cousin too, but her father and my father were stepbrothers. And she would call and say, "Oh, it's nothing like it was." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you, Marie, I don't go to church." Because when Christ appointed the apostles, he had lots of wonderful, saintly women. If he would have wanted a woman in, he would have appointed some of them. But he didn't want them there. And I said, I just can't go along with it. And even in 1914 and 15, my sister had charge of the church at Hondo, because she knew, you know, what they needed at certain times, mm-hmm. what color vestments and everything. And she could not open the tabernacle, although the key was there. But she'd have to wait until Father Meyer came and opened the tabernacle and took the things out. And then he would take the cloth off, you know, the linens off, mm-hmm. and she would put the fresh ones on. But she did not dare let her finger come anywhere near there. And now, anybody goes up there, just whoop.
So, you preferred the old traditional way?
I certainly do. And I also prefer, like, the children going to Sunday school and then going over to church for a rosary, or either start the rosary at school and walk that block to church. And you didn't see any rowdyism or anything. It was all a solemn, very solemn thing.
What about the St. Louis Society? What part did they play in this on St. Louis Day?
Well, I think that they were the overseers of the whole thing, you mm-hmm. know, to see that everybody, you know, like somebody I know the Schmidt girls were good at baking cake. I know they always had to bring cake.
Mm-hmm.
And different ones brought different things. But I think that was strictly St. Louis.
Was there any visiting clergy on that day?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And usually it was someone who was stationed here at one time.
They came back for the day.
Mm-hmm. Came here for the day.
What about... were there any banners or anything that were carried?
Well, it was. There were only two. See, it was only the St. Louis Society and the Altar Society. St. Anne Society. And they had small banners. You know, they were just about this big.
Uh-huh. What about dances on St. Louis Day? Did they? Well, oh, yes. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You told me that.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, they had a big dance St. Louis Day.
Do you remember the 75th anniversary of the church in 1919?
I can't tell you much about it, but I remember the clergy being there. I can't remember.
No, that's
remember.
Fine.
I have to ask somebody else.
All right. What about your individual participation in St. Louis Day? Did you have any special thing you did?
Oh, yes. I was always a seller of the raffles.
Oh.
you know, there's a fellow named Hope was married to a Hass girl. And he'd come from San Antonio every St. Louis Day, and he'd always say, "Now, where is she? Where is she?" And, of course, most of the ladies knew who he meant. Said, "Oh, she's around here somewhere. She's got her little box and her books." And, "Well, I got to see that girl. I love to hear her talking. You know, I think she could sell a quarter off a dead nigger's eye."
Okay.
His wife said, "He looks to this the whole year round. You know, I'm getting a little bit jealous." And I said, "Well, don't get jealous on my account. My job is to sell chances."
Well, when do you think they started the raffle?
I just don't know. It seems like, the nuns would work on a big tablecloth or something. And then the young ladies... mostly the sodality, not sodality, but the choir girls would fix embroidery and things. They did real beautiful work. Of course, they were always under the supervision of one of the nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have that handwork, you know. And that was all when they started with the livestock and stuff like that. I really don't know. But that livestock business started with the firemen. Association, you know.
Yes.
That's when they started doing that.
So you really don't know just exactly when they decided to change St. Louis Day from a family-type picnic to a money-making ticket, with selling everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't have. No,
I don't.
You don't
I don't
know,
exactly. know. I don't know when that started. I just couldn't tell you.
Well, did they serve beef when you remembered as a young child, or was it chicken, possibly?
No, it was beef.
Beef,
okay. Beef barbecue.
What about 4th of July? Did that mean anything special?
Oh, yes. It was my mother's birthday, and her sister's birthday was on the 2nd of July. And the 4th of July, all the banners were waving, and they put the bounding out on stores and stuff like that. And then in the evening... they would, I don't know what it was in English, but in German, they shot the ambos, you know, the anvil.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
You remember seeing that?
Oh, yes, yes. See, we lived just a block from there. See, they'd shoot them there in front of the, it's where the bank building is now. That's where Ed Sheerhart, Blackie's father, had his blacksmith shop, and he let him use his anvils.
Well, do you know how they did that? Do you have any
they
idea?
They filled, see, the anvil has a kind of a square hole in the top, just about that size.
Say about two by 2 inches?
Yeah, something like that.
Square.
And they'd fill that full of black powder. And then they had the other one ready to lift on there, and they had a little fuse that went through there.
Oh.
And they'd lift that on there and get it to set just right. and then they'd light that fuse and everybody'd take off. Sometimes it'd just blow that little one, 15 feet up in the air.
Was it a loud explosion?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was very loud. Uh-huh. And we'd all run up there to the corner. We'd stand there by a Courant store and watch them. It was a lot of fun. Of course, I was among the first ones there because I just lived a block.
Uh-huh.
And, another diversion we had when we were kids, when it would rain, the plaza would be full of water. We had very little drainage. And the street running down in front of our house was always, bank to curb to curb water. And Joe Tunder, Herbert's brother, would fix his boats. They were really, really little boats. We'd go way up there as far as we could go and then put them on there, and then we'd run behind them and get them down.
Follow the running water from the rain.
With the little boats going down. It was a lot of fun. And Mr. Tunder put a stop to it. He said, "Joe, this place needs to be dusted. That's better than to be making paper boats here." That fellow was a funny kind of a fellow. And it was the funniest thing. When I was little, I was more or less scared of him. And after I got grown, if I would have had any sense at all, I would have just taken a tablet down there and wrote down some of the things that he said, and it would be so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
I had other things to think about.
Well, I think we all let things like that pass us by,
Mm-hmm.